Welcome back to Ben and Charlie's world famous college football picks, and we're back to picking NFL games this week. We took a week off last week. We were crunched for time, so we skipped around the NFL picks, which is probably a good thing because we would have had to have picked the Ravens to beat the Titans, and the Titans would have lost like they did. So it was probably a good thing we didn't talk about the NFL last week. Although my Steelers coming up with a big win over the Bengals. But as you all know, our main priority on this little picks podcast that Charlie and I have been doing is college football. And boy, was college football good last week, especially to us Tennessee fans. Tennessee going on the road and beating down the Auburn Tigers. And not only Tennessee beating Auburn, but there are several upsets across the land, around the world of college football. But first, before we get into anything, Charlie Burris, how are you doing today, sir?
Too blessed to be depressed.
No, I'm doing very well. Had a good show today. Ready to make some picks.
Make some money. Brought to you by Ben and Charlie. Looking back at last week's picks, I was very pleased with my SEC selections because the only game that I picked wrong was the Tennessee-Auburn game. So
we both got that wrong.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't remember what
I
chose.
I'll go through the SEC games. We both picked Florida to win. Florida won.
Money.
We both picked. Hey, we did pick Tennessee to cover, so we weren't wrong.
Hey, that happened.
We were not wrong. You picked Georgia to beat LSU. I picked LSU to win.
Whoops.
Yeah, I was very proud of that one. Depressing indeed. Texas A&M beat South Carolina, and we both picked the Aggies.
Yep.
And then Missouri did not cover, did they?
Maybe. I don't know.
They were 27.5 point favorites, Bama was.
I'd have to go back. They won by 28.
I lost by a half a point. I truly hate Nick Saban.
Yeah, and I think I went Bama by anything.
You did.
On that pick. So.
We picked against the spread on that one. I picked Missouri to cover, and they were a half point away from covering. If that doesn't describe my football life, I don't know what does. And then Ole Miss, Arkansas. You picked Arkansas to win. The Razorbacks blew it. The Rebels won, and I picked that one correctly. We both picked Georgia Tech to beat Duke. Duke won that football game, so we were both wrong there. You picked Washington to beat Oregon. That did not happen. I picked Oregon to beat Washington. That did happen. Baylor at Texas, we both picked Baylor to cover, and they did, I believe. The spread was 14. We both picked Baylor to cover, and I do believe Baylor lost by less than 14 points to Texas.
Let's see. I think so, too. Wasn't it? It was 23-17, I want to say.
Yeah, it was, because they tried to throw to Jalen Hurd at the end of the game for a game-winning touchdown, and he was covered up.
He did not catch it.
But that was not on him. And then number 10, UCF at Memphis. We both picked UCF to win. I said it would be in a close one, and they won 31-30.
One that I know I was hyped about. I chose Virginia over Miami.
You did. That was your my best pick of the week was LSU beating Georgia. Yours was Virginia beating Miami. And we both got West Virginia wrong.
Yeah, wasn't feeling the Canes.
And you picked Wisconsin to win. That was your worst pick of the week.
That was bad. Yeah, they got their butt kicked. Big time.
No. All right. Here's what we're about to do right now.
Okay.
First off, I need you to put it in reverse. Bottom left.
Bag up, Terry. Put it in reverse, Terry.
All right, so we're backed up to last week. Michigan embarrasses Wisconsin.
They do.
You're going to apologize to Jim Harbaugh right now.
I'm sorry to Jim Harbaugh for doubting you. I believe I did. The way that I framed that pick was that this would be the letdown game, the sort of the normal. What he's done so far in every single season at Michigan, where he just has one dumb game that they screw up, and I thought that was going to be it. I guess last year was more than one, but I was wrong. Sorry, Jim. I didn't mean to.
I'm very proud of you, Charlie, for being a man, sticking up and apologizing and admitting when you were wrong. So let's. With that being said, we can move on to week 8 of the college football world and pick some games. And let's see
do it.
Which head coach you have to apologize to this upcoming week. As we always do, we will pick against the spread first. I've picked a couple of games that are big lines, and we will pick against the spread. We'll pick the non-SEC games, and then we'll pick the SEC games, and then we'll talk about a little Tennessee, Alabama, before we get into the NFL. So first game on the docket, Illinois at number 25, Wisconsin. Those mighty Badgers that you just believed in oh so much, Charlie, coming off a big loss to Michigan in the Big House. Wisconsin, the Badgers are 24.5-point favorites. Do they bounce back with a big win over Lovie Smith and his Santa Claus-esque beard?
I'm going to say that they definitely win, but they ain't winning by 25. So the line's 25. I don't think that they cover. So give me Illinois with the points there.
Illinois with the points? Charlie.
You think
Charlie.
Wisconsin, the way that they're playing right now, with Alex Hornibrook looking like he never played the game of football, they're going to beat Illinois by 25 points?
It's Illinois.
Illinois sucks. But at the same time,
they're allowing 31 points per game.
They lost to Purdue last week 46-7. But at the same time, Wisconsin does not score at the clip that Purdue does. Purdue's offense is much more prolific. So I'll just say, heck, they went by 24 even.
I don't know why I'm giving you a hard time, because I agree with you.
Okay, well.
I think Wisconsin wins by about 20, and because it is such a big line. And Illinois has put up points on the board this season.
Scored 38 against Rutgers. Of course, Rutgers is basically an FCS team at this point. So.
Yeah, put up 24 against a fairly decent Penn State defense. They are coming off a 46-7 loss to Purdue. Screw it. I'm going with Wisconsin to cover this one. I don't have any faith in Lovie Smith, and the fact that he is a college football coach at Illinois is still just weird to me. But next game, Colorado at number 15, Washington. I'm kind of surprised how big this line is, because Colorado is actually a good football team. I know they lost last week to a disappointing USC team, but that Colorado offense can really move the ball around. But they're on the road at number 15, Wisconsin, and are 16-point underdogs. What do you see happening in this one?
Shouldn't the USC currently has one of the longest home winning streaks in America? I heard that on a show this past week.
I mean,
and I was shocked.
I know that is surprising, because USC has not been good.
Yeah, but anywho, I will say USC does win this one. Utah, they have the same record.
No. Colorado, Washington, big boy.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking about USC. No, I'm off on my own.
I distracted you.
My own land.
I mentioned that Colorado was upset by USC last week, so that's understandable. But Colorado at number 15, Washington, the Huskies are 15.5-point favorites.
I will say Washington's been not playing so hot. And so I will go with Colorado covering, but I do think Washington, they have a really solid defense, and yeah, they're gonna lock Colorado down.
No, I agree with you. Colorado has a very very underrated, sneaky good offense with Laviska Shenault. They're all everything receiver, already has 60 catches, 780 yards, and 6 touchdowns on the season. They use him in the backfield. They use him in the slot. They use him on the outside at receiver. They use him to do everything. And yes, Washington has a good defense, but I just think the 16-point spread is too big for a Washington team. Like you said, has not been playing well of late. So I'll go with Colorado to cover, but I do think Washington wins. I just think it'll be a very good football game. Next game, going to the Atlantic Coastal Conference. Number 16, NC State at number 3, Clemson. This is another line that I am surprised by. Clemson is 17.5-point favorites against a good NC State football team.
This one is pretty shocking, because Clemson has not been that great so far. They really just haven't, almost lost to Syracuse and rebounded the week after, but still haven't been particularly impressive compared to maybe how I thought they might be. And NC State, I think they are a product of their schedule so far. Let me see. Who have they even beaten? Yes, they are 5-0.
They've beaten James Madison, Georgia State, Marshall, Virginia, and Boston College.
Yeah, that's not that great. So I'm going to say Clemson wins. This one is why do I want to say the big house in Death Valley?
Because you love Jim Harbaugh.
I do, yep. You got me all off.
Clemson wins, but do they cover?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. I'm with you on that. I think the line's too big. Yes, NC State has not played anybody.
Too much.
But Ryan Finley is playing very well. NC State has a good defense, and I think they'll be able to get after a freshman quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, even though he is talented. I do think they get after him. So I'm going with NC State to cover. Next game, number 18, Penn State at the Indiana Hoosiers. Penn State, 15-point favorites. Does Indiana's offense and Mike DeBoer have a big game against Penn State and keep this game a close one?
Penn State looked like abject garbage against Michigan State. We got to be honest about that. They didn't look good. They lost. They lost to Michigan State at home.
I know Michigan State is number 24 in the country, but I don't think they're the 24th best team.
They're not. Brian Lewerke's not a great quarterback. Penn State had a horrible game. They have a real habit of playing down to their competition. I think this one is in Happy Valley or at Indiana.
At Indiana.
Indiana. I think for sure you're going to see another instance where Penn State plays down. I will say Penn State does win, but Indiana definitely covers in this one.
Okay, I like it. I am going to go with Penn State in this one to cover. I'm a big Trace McSorley guy, and I think he is able to get it done.
I think they have a bounce back.
I think they do have a bounce back. Indiana coming off a 42-16 loss to Iowa. Not very attractive, whereas Penn State's two losses are to a one-point loss to Ohio State and a four-point loss to a top 25 football team.
Don't overlook Iowa, man. Their only loss to Wisconsin.
I'm about to mute your mic. Are you being serious?
Hey, you got to respect the boys over there in the cornfields, all right? 5-1, ranked 19th in America. Iowa. They got to play Penn State next week. So that, honestly, that's going to be a good game.
No. That would be a very good football
game. Yeah, seriously.
One that I hope I get to watch. Well, what time is that game? Do you see it?
Oh, I just went off of it. It will be at 3:30 p.m.
I will not. Oh, I'll be able to catch that because Tennessee, South Carolina is at 7:30.
That's true.
So I'll be able to watch that. I'm excited about that one. Next game, our last one against the spread. Number 2, Ohio State at Purdue. These lines are very shocking to me this week. Ohio State only 13-point favorites over the Purdue Boilermakers. I understand that it's on the road, but Ohio State is 7-0, the number 2 team in the country, and Purdue is 3-3, and coming off of wins over Illinois and Nebraska. Illinois and Nebraska, which credit to Jeff Brohm, former Tennessee head football coach, for bouncing back after an 0-3 start. They've won their last 3 games to get back to .500. But does Ohio State cover the 13-point spread? I say so, and I don't think it's going to be close.
I think they will cover the spread, but at the same time, this Ohio State team has been giving up points. They gave up 14 to Minnesota last week, 26 to Indiana, 26 to Penn State, 28 to TCU, and 31 to Oregon State. So I think Purdue has a great offense. They really do under Jeff Brohm. And so I will say that, yeah, Ohio State does cover. That line's just not big enough. But I'll say Purdue puts up 30, I think. 24, 30 points, something like that.
I would be surprised if Purdue gets to 30. I think they get to 24, 25 range. That Ohio State defense is just really good. And I think Dwayne Haskins is playing unbelievable football right now. So I think Ohio State wins by, I'll say 17, 20 points. But I do think first two quarters, it'll be a close ball game. It'll be a back-and-forth affair. So I do agree with you there. Moving to our games that we are going to pick straight up, the first one being tonight amongst the Stanford Cardinal and the Arizona State Sun Devils, with the Fighting Herm Edwards taking place at 9 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Charlie, does Bryce Love have a breakout game for the first time this season against Herm Edwards?
It's an interesting game, a nice Thursday nighter. Bryce Love is, he has had a disappointing year so far. I'll say he does. Arizona State, they are not necessarily who they look like they might be earlier in the year. I think Stanford, I don't want to say that they'll run this one up, but I do think Stanford wins on the road. They are a close favorite. And, yeah, if it's on the back of anybody, it will be on the back of Bryce Love. And I think, yeah, Stanford does win this one with a good performance from their running back.
I dig it. Both teams are coming off a bye week. Both teams are coming off losses. I think Arizona State is the better overall football team, and I think they win this football game. I think folks are getting caught up on Bryce Love being on Stanford, and he has underperformed this season, barely over 300 rushing yards. I like N'Keal Harry, Arizona State's receiver, one of the best in the country. And then Manny Wilkins is playing really good football, 1,500 passing yards, 11 touchdowns to just one interception. So I do think Arizona State and the Fighting Herm Edwards pull this one off.
Right.
Next game, number 9, Oklahoma is at TCU following a loss to Texas, a bye week, and firing their defensive coordinator. This is their first game back on the field. The Sooners are 8-point favorites. How do you see this one playing out?
This is a weird one because it's two teams. I don't want to say Oklahoma is reeling. TCU definitely is. TCU is reeling. They lost at home to Texas Tech last week.
They're bad.
It's not good. But Oklahoma, in Oklahoma's own way, is reeling because, like you said, they lost to Texas, which is always semi-devastating for Oklahoma.
Oh, no, the world is falling.
And then they had to fire, or they did, chose to fire old Stoops there at defensive coordinator. I'll say that Oklahoma does win this game, but I see it being a weird one. I don't know what will happen. I think TCU will have some sort of a bounce back year. They'll kind of, like, maybe they finally wake up a little bit, like, whoa, we lost a Texas Tech at home, guys. Like, what are
Texas
we?
Texas Tech is a good football team.
What are we
team.
Doing here? They're okay. Yeah,
it's not
they're
a bad
middle
loss.
Of the pack. I would
it's
say
it's not a bad loss.
It's not as bad as it might have been a few years ago. But at the same time, I just think that both of these teams are in weird positions right now. I'll say it is close, but Oklahoma pulls it out.
No, I think Oklahoma wins as well. I do not think TCU is good at football right now. And Oklahoma's defense, I expect them to be better this week. I expect Kyler Murray to have a big game. And I expect Oklahoma to win by 20 or more. I'm just not high on TCU. Next game. Your mighty Iowa Hawkeyes take on Maryland at home. The number 19 Iowa Hawkeyes, that is. You mentioned it. Iowa is having a sneaky good season, and they are 5-1 on the season, coming off a win over Indiana and Minnesota. I know their quarterback, Mr. Nathan Stanley, is coming off a big performance against who they play last week. I just said it, and my mind went blank.
I'm blanking too.
Indiana.
Now that you made me think about it, it is Indiana, yes.
But 6 touchdown passes, just a phenomenal performance. 320 passing yards, 6 touchdown passes. Does Iowa beat the Terrapins this weekend?
They definitely do, and I think it's going to be by a decent little margin there. Iowa is strangely good. They've really just come into their own. They had a shaky start. Who did they lose to at the beginning of the season? Somebody.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was Wisconsin. But I think that Iowa's rolling right now, and they're going to roll right over Maryland.
No, I agree. I think Nate Stanley, Iowa's quarterback, is very good, and I think they come up with the win. I'm just not high on Maryland. I know they keep winning when I don't expect them to, but I still don't think they're a good football team. They are coming off a win, but it was over Rutgers in a game where Rutgers quarterback, my mom is trying to call me. Now it's not a great time to call me, mother. But Rutgers quarterbacks combined to, they were, I want to say they're 2 of 18. Ooh. For 5 interceptions. Just have you ever heard of a stat line from a quarterback like that before?
That's pretty dang bad. So I will admit, almost as bad as having 11 sacks in one game.
So here's their official stat line. Arthur Sikowski, freshman quarterback for Rutgers, was 2 of 16, 8 passing yards, 12% completion percentage, 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a negative 33 QBR.
Woof.
Woof indeed. And then they bring in the backup, 0 for 1, 1 interception. So if that doesn't signal where Rutgers is at this time, I don't know what does. But back to the original point, I do think Iowa comes out on top over Maryland. Next game, Michigan at Michigan State, one of the best rivalries in college football. The two teams despise each other.
Strange that this is a noon game. That struck me when I initially saw this.
See, that's not strange to me because it just breeds Big Ten football to me.
Yeah, it really does. That's true. That's a good point.
Who do you have winning in this one, Mr. Burris?
Michigan State kind of had a little bit of a reawakening last week, but Michigan, their defense is nasty. I got to give it up. Finally, look, I'll give it up to Harbaugh. You got a good defense. The offense still probably needs a little bit of work, but Shea Patterson is better than any quarterback you've had so far in any part of his tenure at Michigan. It's not going to be easy. This game is going to be close. It always is. But I will say, finally, a little bit of I don't know. It's not a signature win.
Yeah, it is.
Harbaugh would
get not a signature. It's a big win, though.
It's one that Harbaugh, he's only won it, what, one out of five? I think he's 1-4 against Michigan State so far.
As the head coach at Michigan, you can't lose to Michigan State.
They're 1-3. I think they've only played four times. Exactly. And so I will say that Harbaugh does win this one and gets over a little bit of a hump there that he's struggled with.
No, I agree. I think Michigan wins as well. But last week you mentioned slip-up games for Michigan, and this one is the one that feels like a slip-up game to me. Noon on the road, rivalry games, you throw the record out the window.
I know, I'm going to pick Michigan. And like last week I picked against Michigan, they slapped me in the face, and then this week I'm going to pick them. And
it's just Jim Harbaugh trolling you, Charlie.
Yep, he knows.
So, but I'm going with Michigan in this one. I like Shea Patterson. Brian Lewerke is just average. 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions on the season. But I do think Michigan wins in a close one. Next game, number 20, Cincinnati at Temple. I think this is the first time on the podcast we have talked about Cincinnati.
Love this game.
All season, the Mighty Bearcats are 6-0. And Charlie, I don't know if you feel this way, but because of Butch Jones came from Cincinnati, I have really disliked Cincinnati since then. Like, I used to not at all care about Cincinnati, but because Butch Jones coached there, I despise them now. Is that just me?
Who is the coach? It's, I can't think. Hold on, let me look. Luke Fickell, yes, Ohio State's former offensive coordinator that's at Cincinnati now. I think he's in year two. I don't necessarily feel that. I obviously, anywhere that Butch has been, you know, gets a for what? For me. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't really care about Cincinnati either way. They're having a good year.
Do they beat Temple?
Temple?
Another surprising line. Temple is 4-3 on the season. And
surging,
3-point favorites.
Surging. Beat ECU 2 weeks ago, 49-6. Oh, then beat.
Oh, what a big win. Excuse me.
Beat Navy.
Oh, what a big win.
24-17.
What a big win.
Played BC within 10 points. Beat Tulsa. Beat Maryland. Beat Maryland over the head. Beat Maryland by 20.
Good. I hope. What's his face? What's the DJ Durkin was the one
DJ
that took
Durkin.
The hit to the face. I hate that guy.
But Jeff Collins is your coach over there. Who was the wasn't he the DC at
Mississippi State?
Yeah. And
Charlie, quit skirting around my question. Does Cincinnati remain undefeated?
I'm setting the stage here to say Temple is having a better season than maybe some thought they would. No, Cincinnati is still good enough. Their offense is killer. And I'll say that they continue their run to undefeatedness. I want to look at this. Does Cincinnati, could it get messy if Cincinnati wins out? They have a nice setup, but they got to go through UCF. I think that's going to end up being a really big game. They got to go through Navy, USF, and UCF. That'll be the gauntlet for them.
That'll be a fun football game. I agree with you. I think Cincinnati wins.
Interesting thing to think about here. They would have a couple of quote-unquote quality wins here. Beat a crap-ass UCLA team. That's something. But then you would have a win over USF and UCF if Cincinnati won out. Where do you think would they be ranked? They would get left out of the playoff, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And it would
be
annoying.
It depends on what happens around them.
Yeah, that's true. But
they'll be top undefeated. 10. If they go undefeated with those wins, they'd be top 10, top 15.
They would have two top 25 wins. Yeah. What are people going to say at that point? What are you going to say?
I don't know. Two top.
It's not going to be like UCF where it's like, well, they beat Memphis. That's good. But Memphis, they weren't really that good. You know, people could say that sort of stuff. You got two top 25 wins. Could be a messy situation. I think it'll work itself out. I don't think they're going to go undefeated. But anywho, questions to think about. All right, let's move on.
No, I do like Cincinnati. Luke Fickell is doing big things with Desmond
doing a good job.
Ritter.
Yeah.
Freshman quarterback, 1,000 yards on the season, 10 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, and they are 6-0 and might be my biggest surprise of the season behind Scott Frost and his corn. What I call them last week, the corn flakes.
That's about all they are.
They're not the Corn Huskers. They're the Corn Flakes. So I do like Cincinnati to beat Temple. Next game will be number 12, Oregon, at number 25, Washington State. Mike Leach, your favorite head football coach in America, is 3-point favorites over the Ducks. Another surprising line to me. Who do you see winning this football game, Charlie?
I think it's Oregon. Oregon is playing the best football out of those two. Mike Leach is shifty. Obviously, it is in Pullman, which is a weird place to play.
But College Game Day is there, Charlie. That just signifies that Washington State automatically wins, right?
Of course.
That's equivalent to 7 points.
It always is, isn't it? Except when they come to Tennessee, no, Tennessee's playing Florida.
Well, I'm not necessarily talking about College Game Day going everywhere. I'm just saying, I don't know if you saw yesterday, but College Game Day arriving in Pullman yesterday was absolute nuts. Did you see any of the videos?
I didn't, no. Washington State feeling themselves right now?
Just while I talk about this game, just look up College Game Day's Twitter and just scroll down and just look at the masses. They got a police escort. Wow. College Game Day bus got a police escort because the streets were absolutely packed. I like Oregon in this one. Anybody who has listened to this podcast all year long knows that I am very high on Justin Herbert. He is playing phenomenal football. 1,600 yards, 17 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Oregon coming off a big win over Washington in overtime, now number 12 in the country. I think Oregon wins by 10 or 13 over Washington State. I think this is a big win for the Ducks. Washington State's offense scares me, but I love, absolutely love, what Mario Cristobal is doing with the Ducks. And they're my favorite team out on the West Coast right now.
I like Oregon a lot at the moment. Washington State, their only loss wasn't it in overtime to USC at USC? Like I said earlier, it has one of the longest home winning streaks at the moment.
Yep, 39-36. It was not in overtime.
Not in overtime.
USC kicked the game winning field goal, I believe.
But it was like in the middle of the night. That's what I remember. It's one of those games.
No. It was like at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it was one of those games that started at like 10:30 at night and didn't end until way late. So
we did not stay up for it. Go ahead and do it. I can tell when you want to pick an upset. Go ahead and do it, Charlie.
And I've had every week I picked some weird upsets, and I've nailed a couple. Got Iowa State, and I think over West Virginia, didn't I? And I got...
You got Virginia over Miami.
I think I picked Iowa State over West Virginia.
You picked
didn't
West
I?
Virginia. Promise you.
I have
you
to go back
it.
And listen.
You thought about doing it, but...
And then I chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
But... Is this the one that I want to go out on a limb?
See, look, I even started to write you down for Iowa State and scribbled you out.
Dang, what an idiot I was.
Was.
Am. I got to go with Oregon.
No, Charlie,
I think they win.
To disagree with me, Charlie.
I think Oregon wins. That's going to be a fun football game, though.
Yes, it will.
Excited
be.
About it.
Hopefully, I get to watch some of that. The last game that is not an SEC game is USC at Utah. You tried to talk about it earlier, but we'll talk about it now. The Utes of Utah are 7-point favorites, and I think that they are going to win by 14 or more. I do not believe in USC at all. You mentioned a lot of their big wins come at home. This is not at home, and I think Utah beats USC down.
USC kind of plays like garbage on the road. There's no real way to dance around that. They have lost to both Stanford and Texas by sizable margins on the road so far this season. Utah hasn't been good, though. That's where I'm conflicted. Not that USC has been amazing. I'll say USC wins. I'll take USC in this one. We'll disagree.
Oh, you're just being... We disagree!
Disagree! Shout out to the Solid Verbal.
Yes. We got to make sure we give them credit. You know how folks around Knoxville...
Yep. Everybody wants their credit, man.
Folks around Knoxville, they're on edge if, you know, anybody does anything similar to them. But we'll move into the SEC games. My favorite part of the show is picking the SEC games, and we've got some interesting games to pick this week. First one being Auburn at Ole Miss. The Tigers are 3.5-point favorites after Tennessee beat down the Auburn Tigers. Gus Malzahn has three flat tires, and his front right tire is leaking air. Is this the game that does Gus Malzahn in? Because I think if they lose this game, he's fired. Not on Monday.
Wow.
But at the end of the season, I think he's fired.
I don't like Auburn's chances in this one. Ole Miss was – they were kind of getting their butt kicked by Arkansas last week. They ended up having a giant second-half comeback and winning.
And that was more an Arkansas and just pooping the bed.
Yeah, Arkansas really screwed up. But, I mean, Arkansas had that game won for a time. Jordan Tomlin was good, man.
It's good, good, very good, very good.
I'll say Auburn's slingshots back in the other direction a little bit, specifically because of their defense, able to hold Ole Miss down a little bit. I think Jordan Tomlin still comes up with a big performance because that's just what the dude does. He's 2,300 yards passing, 15 touchdowns so far in the year. But Auburn will be able to move the ball because Ole Miss's defense is the hottest garbage. Oh, my gosh, it's so bad.
Sal Sinceri is their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, not surprising at all. Their defense is total and complete trash. So Auburn, I think, will score enough points in this one to win, and they'll... Would you call it get back on track? I don't know. That seems
a little strong. It's a win. And
Ole Miss is not good.
Two in a row. No, I think Auburn wins this one for the same exact reason. I think Auburn puts 40 points on the board, and I don't think Ole Miss puts 40 on the board against a good Auburn defense that had a bad day against Tennessee. So I think Gus gets back on track for the time being. Next game, Tulsa at Arkansas. And if Arkansas doesn't win this football game, they very may well just win one football game this season. They currently sit 1-6, and if they lose this one, they're going to go 1-11 because there's no way they win an SEC game. Just not looking good for Arkansas. Does Arkansas avoid losing to 1-5 Tulsa?
I think they do, but it's going to be close. Arkansas has played better. Like I just said, they were running it up on Ole Miss for a minute there in that game before the comeback. And so I think they will win their second game of the year and beat Tulsa. And then, yeah, you ain't winning another game this year, Arkansas. Sorry about it. Their best chance for the remainder of the season. They do, mercifully for them, they're rotating cross-divisional opponent is Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt will.
So you could be Vanderbilt.
Could, but it won't happen. Arkansas will beat Tulsa by 2 touchdowns or more. I think they have a big day offensively and defensively. And for the sake of Chad Morris, I really hope they beat Tulsa. Next game, Memphis at Missouri. Such an intriguing football game to me. I enjoy keeping up with Memphis football because I have family in Memphis. My dad grew up there. So it's weird. Like I've said this on the podcast before and on the show. I pull for Memphis football, but I don't pull for Memphis basketball.
Yeah, I don't have any real qualms with Memphis football at all. Basketball for sure.
Now, if Memphis football is playing Tennessee next year,
obviously
hope Tennessee stabs them in the throat and kills them.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they beat them that bad. And you want to talk about basketball real quick. With them getting Penny, I kind of don't dislike them as much as I have in the past. Maybe that will change when Tennessee plays them in December, but I'm a big Penny fan. It's hard for me to hate them.
See, I almost dislike Memphis more now. I am a big Penny fan also, but at the same time, it almost makes me dislike Memphis
basketball getting better
even more. Yeah.
That makes sense. And maybe my mindset will change because Memphis has not been good.
No, they've been really bad, and I don't think
Tennessee football has been. That's what Memphis has been in basketball.
Like, Tennessee has to play. Memphis is coming to Thompson Bowling this season, right? Or going to FedEx?
Going to FedEx.
Okay, it's at the Forum.
And then next year, it'll be in Thompson Bowling. And then the year after that, it'll be in Nashville.
That's lucky. That works out for Tennessee well because I think Penny hasn't had a chance to really recruit at his highest level yet. And come, not this year, but the next, they might be good. So
no, they will be good.
You're catching them in the Forum at the right time.
They're about to land the number one overall player in the country, James Wiseman. Like,
exactly.
That is happening. And that will be probably. Anyways, we'll talk about basketball in here.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Let's break some news real quick. Orange in the Paint, coming back next week. There. You have
done
it. You heard
and
it first.
Done, baby.
All right. Back to football. Not next game. We're talking about Memphis at Missouri. I think Memphis wins this football game. I am not high on Missouri. I am concerned about Drew Locke going up against Memphis's defense. That gives me a lot of problems. I do not trust Memphis's defense at all, but I love Memphis's offense and Darrell Henderson, and I think he has a humongous game, and a lot of people aren't talking about him nationally, but after Saturday, I think they will be.
Memphis is playing its best football right now.
They should have beaten UCF over the weekend.
They had, what was it, like 30-10 at halftime or something?
Yes.
They ended up losing, but...
But not only Darrell Henderson, Brady White is playing really well. 15 touchdowns to one interception. I think Memphis' offense has a big game against a Missouri defense that is
too.
Allowing 30 points a game.
I love that this game is happening. This is a fun non-conference game. And
it won't be for Missouri.
What a mistake for Missouri to schedule this game. There's no reason. Anyone in the SEC, there's no reason for you to schedule out of conference games like this. That if you lose, it's a terrible loss. And if you win, it's not that great of a win. But anywho, I will say that Missouri does pull it out. Missouri, they scheduled hard out of conference. Well, I don't know if you want to say hard, but relative to how good they are, Purdue and Memphis, when they could have just played a couple of sleepers, like that's... I would rather play one really good team out of conference rather than two pretty good out of conference teams. Just one, give me one good one instead of two pretty good ones. But I will say that Missouri does pull this one out. Much kind of similar to how they did with Purdue earlier in the year where it's really close like that.
We disagree. Number 22, Mississippi State at number 5, LSU. LSU coming off a big, ginormous, humongous win over the Georgia Bulldogs. Tigers are now 10-point favorites. Or excuse me, 6.5-point favorites. I was looking at the Missouri Tigers, not the LSU Tigers. LSU, 6.5-point favorites. How do you see this one playing out, Mr. Barris?
I don't totally know because Mississippi State has kind of been back and forth. They'll come out and have a really nice game. You know, they soundly beat Auburn and put some really nice football together in that one. And then they can go out and lay an egg like they did against Florida, where they just played like total garbage, gave up like 9 sacks. It was really bad. So I'll say this one on the road is at 7 p.m. in Death Valley, one of the toughest places to play in America. LSU definitely wins this one, I think. But I'll say Mississippi State keeps it close, maybe. But, well, I don't... LSU played so good last week. It's hard to say. I'll say State keeps it close, though.
That's not what I asked.
State keeps it close. LSU wins. I said LSU wins.
Okay. I'm just checking you because I know you like Mississippi State, and I figured you might go Mississippi State.
But like I said, no. I don't think Mississippi State's good enough to win this game. If it was at in Starkville, maybe. But it's not. It's at night in Death Valley, and
it doesn't matter.
That's
whether,
a treacherous place.
Whether it's in Starkville, whether it's in Baton Rouge, LSU is winning this football game. I don't think Mississippi State is as good as their 4-2 record or their number 22 ranking really indicate. Yeah, they looked better against Auburn, but how much of that was Auburn just being very bad?
Auburn did suck.
LSU's defense is playing phenomenal football. Nick Brossette, LSU's running back, playing phenomenal football. So mm-hmm. is Joe Burrow managing the offense. I think LSU wins and covers the spread in this one. Last SEC game before we talk about Tennessee-Alabama real quick. Vanderbilt at number 14, Kentucky. Kentucky is 11.5-point favorites. Does Vanderbilt cover the 11.5-point spread?
No. Kentucky beats them down. Vanderbilt's playing really bad football. And Kentucky is, I believe they're coming off bye week, right? So I'm saying that Kentucky runs it up. It's a beat 'em down.
How dare you? Bye, Felicia. Yeah. Bye, Felicia.
You about to buy into old Vandy? Derek Mason going into the Hornets' nest there in Kroger Commonwealth Stadium Field or whatever and winning a football game?
Please kill me and throw me off Henley Street Bridge if Tennessee ever names their stadium after a grocery store. I think Vanderbilt covers. Vanderbilt is playing tough football. I know their record isn't the greatest, but they should have beat Florida last weekend.
They should have. That's true.
They are a tough football team, and against Kentucky, it's going to take a tough football team, a tough mindset to punch Kentucky back in the mouth. I think Kentucky wins, but I think Vanderbilt keeps it close and covers. I think 12 points is just too big. I think people are somewhat overlooking Vanderbilt's offense and the potential it has. But on the flip side of that, Kentucky's defense is very good, so it wouldn't surprise me if Kentucky wins big in this one. But I'm buying in the Derrick Mason, and I think his team plays lights out, plays with all their heart after seeing Derrick Mason stand up for them last week against Dan Mullen. I think that is going to inspire Vanderbilt to play inspired football. And for that,
I hope it does.
I think Kentucky wins on a field goal. That's what I'll say on that one.
I'm sticking with mine. I think Kentucky wins big. They are a good team. Vanderbilt not going to be able to stop Benny Snell, the Snell train.
Well, I'm glad you're sticking to your answer and not copying mine, because as we know, you love to copy my answers.
What?
I'm kidding.
Hold on.
I'm kidding. But for the most important game of the week, the number one Alabama Crimson Tide from Turdtown, the Elephants, they're coming in to Knoxville, God's country, to take on the Tennessee Volunteers, where Tennessee is 28-point underdogs. And it might have moved up to 29 since the last time I saw it.
It is 29 on ESPN.
Okay, so it's moved up. Charlie, and we both agree that Tennessee is going to lose this football game. Do they cover?
I will say yes, because Alabama has this habit, you know, where they get up by 21, and then they say, all right, let's put in the second string, because even the second string is better than this team we're playing. So just get out there and, you know, make sure that the score stays the same. And that, you know, they just kind of status quo it out of the stadium there. And so I'll say that happens. Maybe 20, 28. I mean, you could win by 28 and still Alabama would not cover. So I'm going to say, let me think of a final score that I actually think is feasible in this one. 41 to 14?
I think so. And why are you making me do math?
I don't know. I'm making myself do math. That was bad on my part.
It's like 27.
Yeah, it's 27. So 41-14, that's what I'll say.
Okay. I'm going to say 52-13, Bama. This is not going to be a fun football game. I just think Alabama creates too many mismatches offensively. And I think Tennessee's really going to struggle stopping Alabama's offense. Tua Tagovailoa is just absolutely dynamic. 21 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I think Tennessee's secondary is going to struggle against Jerry Jeudy and the rest of those dynamic receivers. And then they have two running backs that are over 400 rushing yards on the season. Two running backs over 400 rushing yards on the season. Najee Harris, Damian Harris. I think Tennessee struggles to stop the run, get pressure on the quarterback. I just think it's a recipe for complete failure on defense. But it's not because the guys won't play hard. It's not because Jeremy Pruitt won't know what he's doing. It's just Alabama's just better, man for man. And because of it, I do think Alabama covers. I think Tennessee's offense has a chance to make plays downfield. Alabama, their DBs are going to play man coverage. If Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, Josh Palmer, if they can win some 50-50 balls like they did against Auburn, it would create some scoring chances, but it's going to come down to finishing drives in the red zone, and I don't see Tennessee being good enough to really punch it in there in goal line formations as we've seen this season. So I think Alabama scores a lot of points. Tennessee scores one touchdown, two field goals. Bama wins 52-13 to cover. And as we said,
well, you know what I just noticed? This is funny. The top story on ESPN's front page of college football right now is a story that is entitled "Welcome to Nick Saban's Home for Wayward Coaches," and the top photo on it,
Butch Jones,
your friend and ours, Lyle Allen Jones.
Not my friend.
He looks so distraught in this picture, man. Butch, he looks like a kid who is like left out of the cool group and is just like standing over, like looking, you know. Man, I wish I had friends.
This is what I would say to Butch Jones.
Man, sit your ass down.
And be quiet. But This is our weekly segment on Ben and Charlie's World Famous Picks, where we will have our moment of silence for the football team that Alabama is playing. And unfortunately, our week has come to where we must give a moment of silence for our dearest Tennessee Volunteers and our one and only leader, Mr. Pruitt. Just may we,
R.I.P.
please, just Lord, sweet football, baby Jesus sitting up there with your leather football and your leather helmet, just please, just spread your little angel wings and please, Lord, sweet football, baby Jesus, please, Lord, allow Tennessee to cover the point spread. Please, Lord.
And also, keep Tennessee's players healthy. Don't let them get hurt so that they can win, so that they can play in games that they can actually win.
Yes, that's... Lord. Please watch over our dearest Jarrett, as we will need him in the month of November to make a bowl game. Lord, sweet football, baby Jesus. Please watch over our sweet, dear Jarrett. Watch over our offensive linemen, Lord, as Trey Smith continues to knock off the rust and Drew Richmond continues to play inspired football. Lord, watch over our true freshman linemen as they go up against Alabama's defensive line. And Lord, I pray that you watch over Juwan Jennings as he baptizes some Alabama defensive backs and claim some more children as his own. Lord, Lord, I pray that you watch over Ty Chandler and Tim Jordan and Madre London and Jeremy Banks. And Lord, just don't let them get beat down too hard for that Alabama front seven. Lord, and Lord, most importantly, please watch over Tennessee's secondary and allow Tua to throw his first interception of the season. Oh, Lord, Lord, and allow him to play in the fourth quarter for the first time this season. Preach Lord, me. Sweet football, baby Jesus. And we will conclude with a 5-second moment of silence.
Amen.
All right, let's pick some NFL games.
I think you have a future as a pastor, maybe. I'll minister.
I'll hit up TC and Turkey Man.
Yeah.
First game, Thursday Night Football, Denver at Arizona. I feel like I have to talk in a deep
manly. Denver at Arizona.
When you talk about the NFL games, especially with these theme songs, these NFL themes. If this doesn't get you going, you need to check yourself. Do you have a heart?
Thursday Night Football. Denver travels to Arizona.
Taking on the mighty Josh Rosen, Cardinals, and Larry Fitzgerald. A.J. Johnson is going to feed the beast. Number 45 is going to come down and just smack Josh Rosen in the side. Von Miller's been talking all week that they're going to beat their ass and cashing checks that, oh boy, I don't know if he can cash. So, anyways, Charlie, Denver at Arizona. I'm going with Broncos in this one. Cardinals are a bad football team.
Cardinals suck. Give me the Broncos.
All right. Playing in London with their cup of tea. They're going to be like Vanderbilt with their gray poupons.
They're in the same city as Vanderbilt.
Their sweet tea and their pinkies raised. And Taylor Lewan and the boys, they travel to London to take on the mighty San Diego. The Los Angeles Chargers and Phillip Rivers. Do the Titans bounce back after a miserable loss to the Ravens?
Little story time of just how bad the Titans season has turned. After the Titans beat the Eagles, I decided to buy myself a Titans for the boys shirt. Really feeling it. I still love that slogan. I think it's awesome. You know, it just encourages teamwork. Got the T-shirt in the mail. Ordered me an extra large, which I wear for everything. And this one I got on, it's kind of loose, loosey-goosey. It's an extra large. I get the extra large in the mail for this shirt, and it is snug like a tube sock. I mean, it just... Fitting of the name Baby Shirt Burris, I will say that. It was a baby shirt.
You should wear it on
the show
tomorrow.
I had to send it back, dude. Now it's gone. I had to send it back and give me a different one. I was very disappointed, disheartened. So things, just nothing going right with the Titans right now, even for me. Man, I do think the Titans have a bit of a bounce back game here. I do think they play well, but I think they come up short against the Chargers. This one's always weird because everybody's body clock is off. You know, London's 6 hours ahead and they got to adjust, and you know, they only got there today. And everybody, you know, gets thrown off and they haven't slept. And so I will say that it's a close game. The Chargers are pretty good, but this one's still, the Titans don't get back on the right track, and they finally slip into having a losing record, and I'm going to be really not happy about it.
I'm with you, Charlie. As I watch this game with my pinky up and sipping on my Earl Grey tea, I do think the Chargers overcome the Titans' inability to play football and win this football game. Next game, Bills at Colts, kicking off the 1 o'clock games. The Buffalo Bills are bad. The Indianapolis Colts are slightly better. Andrew Luck, a couple big games now. I'm going with the Colts in this one.
Da, Colts, da, Colts, da, Colts. The Colts are bad. The Bills are bad. I will say that the Colts win because if Josh Allen was playing for the Bills, he is hurt. If he was playing, I would say that the Bills probably win this one, actually. But I got to go with the Colts because the Bills don't have a quarterback right now.
They do not.
It's going to be somebody named Derek Anderson, whoever that is.
You don't know who Derek Anderson is?
Oh, yeah, Derek. 35-year-old quarterback picked up off of basically like a practice squad. Derek Anderson, yes, of course.
Yes, that Derek Anderson. Next game, Detroit Lions at the Miami Dolphins. The Lions are coming off of a 31-23 win over the Packers before their bye week. The Dolphins are coming off a 31-28 overtime win over the Chicago Bears, where if Jason Swain can hear me, his Chicago Bears lost to Brock Osweiler, Brock the Croc.
You blew it.
How do you lose to Brock? How do you lose to Brock Osweiler?
That's a good question.
Answer me that. But I like the Dolphins in this one. I think the Dolphins have enough offensive firepower to get the job done in this one.
I will say the same. Although I hope that Matt Stafford has a big day because he's my starting quarterback in fantasy.
First off, so, you get it for what? For having Matthew Stafford as your starting quarterback in fantasy?
No, so I have Big Ben, and he has a bye week.
Okay, so that makes a little more sense. Big Ben got you a lot of points last week.
He did. He hooked me up with almost 30, like 27, 28, yeah, something like that.
You're welcome. Say thank you to Big Ben.
Nah.
How dare you? Better than Marcus Mariota. This isn't here nor there.
Oh, it probably is.
The Vikings are coming off of a 27-17 win over the Arizona Cardinals, and now they travel to the Meadowlands to take on the New York Jets, where Sam Darnold had a big game against the Colts last week. Who do you have winning between the Vikings and the Jets?
I guess I'll say the Vikings in this one, although I don't... It's really just a feeling more than anything. I think these teams are very similar, actually. But I'll say that the Vikings pull this one out.
I'm going with the Jets in this one. The Vikings cannot run the football, which means that they're going to rely on their passing game from Kirk Cousins and against a fairly good Jets secondary. I know they're not playing all that well, but they have some talent. They're having several miscommunications. I think they clear that up and have a big game against the Vikings and win this football game. And Sam Darnold is really starting to progress. Yes, I said not progress, progress. So I like the Jets in this one. Next game, Panthers at Eagles. Who you got?
Eagles. Yeah, I'll take the Eagles. I think they get back on track, and they're good at home. It's a good home field advantage.
What you mean back on track? They beat the Giants 34-13 last week.
That is true.
No,
okay,
I know what you mean.
But the Giants suck.
They start and the Eagles started off 2-3. I know what you're saying.
This would actually be a quality win for the Eagles, whereas the Giants are sort of playing like garbage right now.
No, I agree with you. I also think the Panthers are overrated. Their win, they do have a nice win over the Bengals 31-21.
Yeah.
They beat the Giants by 2 points, and then they beat the Cowboys by 8 points. Not very impressive, if you ask me. I think the Eagles are really starting to get back on track with their defense and offense. I like the Eagles and this one. And then the next game, Browns at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Cleveland Browns now with 2 wins on the season, Charlie. They're 2-3-1. They have more wins than John Gruden, which is always a beautiful stat. Who do you like in this football game?
I will say, actually, the Browns. Buccaneers are kind of playing like crap. Their defense is really bad. And I'll say that that old Baker May can move the ball on the Bucs and leads them to a win. I look at that and I say, how the heck did the Browns beat the Ravens? The Ravens are pretty good. I was shocked by how good the Ravens defense was against the Titans. Maybe the Titans were just playing like garbage. They definitely were. But that, you know, you don't get 11 sacks by the offense just being bad.
No, I agree with you. And I think the Browns win as well. They should be 3-3. Really, they have a chance at being 4-2 on the season.
Yes,
4-1 on the season.
Could have won that overtime
week one. Yep. Could have beat the Saints. Could have beat the Raiders in overtime. I like the Browns. I just think they're a better overall football team than Tampa Bay, a team that their defense is butt booty terrible. Next game, the Texans at the Jags. I'm taking the Jags in this one. I think their defense has a bounce back game. Gets back on track against Deshaun Watson, who is he's trying to knock off the rust from that ACL injury.
Yeah, I got the Jags, too. It's well, I think, yeah, Deshaun Watson is just still not the same. So, yeah, I'll just go with the Jags. It's an easier pick. Give me the Jags, even though I wish the Texans would win in a way. But
no, I understand.
Honestly, at the end of the day, neither outcome here is good for the Titans, because if the Titans win, they're tied at the top of the division with whoever wins this game. And if they lose, basically both of these teams, well, no, the losing team would still be behind the Titans, but still, I don't like it either way.
No, I get it. A couple more here. Saints at Ravens. Who do you like in this football game, Charlie?
I will say that Ravens defensive line was so good. I don't know if they're actually that good, but I'll say that the Ravens are able to hold the Saints down pretty significantly, but I will say that the Saints do ultimately pull this one out.
I think the Ravens win this one because that the Saints defense is not good, and Joe Flacco is having a pretty nice year, so I like the Ravens in this one because I don't trust the Saints defense. Next game, Rams at 49ers. Rams are going to kill the 49ers, simple as that.
Yep, that's pretty much the long and the short of it. The Rams are probably the best team in the NFL right now.
Yep, and Cowboys at Redskins. I think the Redskins defense gets the job done in this one against a pedestrian Cowboys offense. I know they recently had a big game, but I think the Redskins defense comes up big here.
Yeah, Cowboys snap back into reality this week, and I think the Redskins win too.
Sunday Night Football, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Kansas City Chiefs. Who do you like in this one?
I like the Chiefs. They're playing very, very good football, even though they lost this week. I will say that they beat the Bengals, who are also having sort of a surprise season so far at 4-2. But, yeah, the Chiefs in KC at night. Chiefs win.
No, I agree with you. And what's the coincidence that the Sunday Night Football theme song plays as we're talking about?
There you go.
Sunday Night Football. Yeah, I don't trust the Bengals. They beat themselves. The Chiefs are nearly flawless on offense. I think they have a big game against a Bengals defense that likes to get in the way of themselves.
Tyreek Hill, please put up a big game. He was huge last week. He got me almost 40 points in fantasy. Well, please do that again.
You just better be please hoping that he doesn't receive a cheap shot from Vontaze Burfict that knocks him out of the game.
Yeah.
There's no person in sports I hate more than Vontaze Burfict. I hate that man, and hate is a very strong word. Monday Night Football, Giants at Falcons. Giants sucks. The Giants suck. I think the Falcons are slightly better. I think the Falcons win.
The Falcons suck a little less, but not by much. I do think the Falcons win. It's in Atlanta. The Giants are just, they blow right now, except for Saquon Barkley. Yep, give me the Falcos.
I like it. Well, hopefully our picks will turn out to be, well, I guess you could say we had a fairly good week last week, but
yeah.
Hopefully we have back-to-back good weeks. Hopefully Tennessee pulls off the biggest upset in college football history and beats Alabama. I've got my victory cigar ready to go regardless. Probably won't light it up, but hey, I'm always ready to go. So
gotta be prepared.
You have to indeed. We will be back next week. For Charlie Burris, I am Ben McKee. Thank you for listening to another edition of Ben and Charlie's World Famous College Football Picks. We'll talk to y'all next week.